Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
Our goal is to be in every product that we consume, that every person consumes every day, whether it's something you eat or whether it's something you put on your skin, because we have in the cosmetic division as well. We should be in everything because we are creating the next generation ingredients. So that's one, and we're on a great journey to achieve that.
Welcome to Ag Bioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinova CEO, Mitch Fraser.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. The global functional food ingredients market is expected to grow by $53 billion by 2028. That's according to Technavio. One pioneer, one scientist is operating at that intersection of food and health in this functional food powerhouse. She joins us now. Welcome Dr. Nora Caldi, CEO and founder of Neuritas. Nora, it is wonderful to see you on Ag Bioscience.
Thanks, Mitch. Lovely to be here as well. Thank you.
You have built a juggernaut in this functional food innovation space, Nora. You're working with some of the biggest brands, Nestle, Mars. Before we jump into functional food and the work that you're leading, you got to share, what are these big companies looking for in ingredient innovation, specifically around functional foods?
There's a lot of trends that have been coming up and moving for the past decade, one of which is that consumers are moving towards healthier, more sustainable, more natural, but also more efficacious. They want things that work for them. They want them to be healthier and more natural. And as a consequence, a lot of these companies are trying to improve their ingredient profile, their formulations, what they can say on package to kind of address that consumer need. But today we live in a world where a lot of the ingredients we're using are all super old. They're like 70, 100 years old ingredients made for a consumer of yesterday and not made for today's needs. But that's literally the situation in the ingredient space. So people or companies are kind of obliged to use what exists to create products that address a different consumer need. So there's a lot of pressure today on positioning, on addressing that consumer, and the ingredients of today do not answer it. But as you know, creating an ingredient is actually super expensive and it takes decades and decades. And that's what Neuritas does. It has found a way to create new ingredients that really truly address this consumer need. So that's really the whole pressure on all these large companies. It's really about addressing this kind of rapid changing environment of what consumers are looking for. And the fact that today's supplies and today's types of ingredients do not address those.
You have been a pioneer by definition, Nora, when you look at peptides, an element that I think all of us probably learned about in maybe high school biology, but not everybody really knows what peptides are. Talk a little bit about this platform that you're building, that you have built at Neuritas, and its focus on peptides. Maybe even give us a little primer. What are peptides and how they work?
And maybe a tiny bit before that, Mitch. So the reason why we went and I chose peptides as the first companies in the space to go after the peptide world was looking at the problem today, like I said, okay, we have all these large companies wanting to differentiate, wanting to address a consumer that's changing, and yet the handful of ingredients that exist don't address that. But also, if you look at the trends in general, there's a lot of pressure also on the food industry, for example, to improve their ingredient lists, etc., because of the big epidemic of diseases are occurring directly linked to the ingredients used. So that is, you know, your whole diabetes, cardiovascular issue, immune modulation issues, and so forth. And the list really grows and grows. So there's a massive need for that. And when I first started coming into it from a mathematical background, looked at the problem and tried to identify why can't we just simply create new ingredients? Why can't the industry create new ingredients to address the consumer and to remove the past ones that aren't really conferring interesting health benefits? If you look at the industry of food, for example, it's really driven by cost and taste. Those are the two key drivers. It's not really driven by health. And the question was, why can't we invent new ingredients that are both cost effective, neutral in taste, but also have a health benefit to them that addresses this consumer need, which is all about health. And then I realized that actually costs hundreds of millions and it can take decades. And by the time you spend all those decades, you may find nothing, or you may find something where that trend has gone already. So the question was, can we identify a technology that can rapidly identify new ingredients? Again, if you take a step back, you look at the ingredient suppliers for all these large companies, the ingredient suppliers can't invent new ingredients. They incrementally change old ingredients. So they take the old ones, they incrementally change them by maybe making them more sustainably or rebranding them, etc. But they can't make new because of the same problems. It takes forever, it costs millions. So the question was, can we find and it's because it's random experimentation. You randomly test things until you find something. Can we find a technology that can do this? And coming from, again, my math background, the question was a data issue. So AI, this is why Neurotas uses AI. We had to build a technology that's AI-based to go through the billions and billions of combinations within each source material, each plant, and identify the subsets that have the highest chance of being functional and what those are. And that's the start of the story. Then the question was, what will we be looking for? This so many different molecules. And we focus on peptides. Peptides are interesting because they're short proteins. Proteins is something we eat every day, the same as peptides, by the way. Peptides are interesting because they're regulatory friendly. They're a nutrient. They have great benefits, like they're super efficacious. They have the negatives at that time was that they were unstable. And I knew by using an AI technology, we could actually identify peptides that were going to be stable because you need stability, obviously, in formulations. So it was at the beginning of Neurotas, what I did was simply look at the trends, understand all the types of molecules, and then start eliminating the ones that I felt were not going to be viable commercially if we were to find things because they were too hard to produce, they were too expensive, they weren't regulatory friendly, they weren't orally available, et cetera, et cetera. And at the end, I came up to peptides. And we were one of the first, actually, we were the first in our area to start really focusing on taking peptides to the next level, which are short proteins, like I said, that on top of proteins, they not only confer, obviously, a nutritional benefit, but they also confer a health benefit. So peptides was the modality, and the way we're going to do it was using AI. So it was a combination of let's build a technology that's going to data mine nature to identify peptides that are easy accessible, that can be patented, that can be scaled in a cost-effective way, that aren't going to alter taste and formulation, that are regulatory friendly, and so forth and so forth. And that's what we built. And clinically valid, obviously, we take all our peptides through science and then clinical backing to the market.
You have built a portfolio of products. We've talked a little bit about strength and protein. We'd love to hear a little bit about that work, but you just launched a product, PeptiSleep. Give us a view of what the new product is and maybe some background on the other products that you have.
The way we work, Mitch, is that we identify first a problem. So we identify consumer need, and then we backtrack, understand what the competition looks like, what are the solutions that are used today to solve that problem. And if we were to invent something, how would that compare to what exists and how can we create something better? And that's really what we focused on. We always focused on creating molecules or solutions, ingredients that are better beyond like X time better than what exists and also tick the box of consumer naturality, plant-based, etc. So we focused originally, the focus was sarcopenia, muscle loss, strength loss with age. From the age of 28 onwards, it occurs when we lose weight. You know, the whole GLP user segment now that's growing like crazy, that is connected directly with muscle loss, which means strength loss, which has huge consequences. It starts off with higher inflammation, less energy, lower metabolism, and so forth, and then frailty. And it has massive consequences on our immune system, etc. And the question is, how do you maintain your muscle while you're going through these phases of life-changing phases, whether it's aging, whether you're losing weight on a diet, etc. And PeptiStrong was that solution. And we showed that it's multiple times better than whatever exists today, which are the main ingredients like creatine, like HMB, like protein and leucine are some of the examples of ones used today. That it's multiple times better, but beyond those, it's not just a nutrient. It activates the muscle cell to become younger and to start metabolizing and actually using its protein a lot better. So in the last clinicals, we've done three clinicals. The last one, for example, we show that it doubles the effect of protein. So like say you're eating 20 grams with PeptiStrong, it's equivalent to eating 40 grams.
It's incredible.
Plus it does other things which are shown in the clinical, which I won't go into, but all the publications are online. Then the last one, the one we just launched last month, it's a really interesting one. And as we are growing, we realize that measurability, being able to measure in effect, creates stickiness, but also allows consumers to know something is working for them. So a lot of our clinicals today integrate with wearables. So people can see the difference. They can feel it. They can see it. So the last one we launched is called PeptiSleep. It's in the sleep area. It's a peptide that works through the mechanism of it reduces cortisol, circulating cortisol. And as a consequence, it improves the four phases of sleep, falling asleep. It significantly improves REM, but also deep sleep. And when you're awake, you feel refreshed. You don't feel droggy or anything. And the goal here is really out competing wherever is out there in terms of the major sleep ingredients. So it has a very clear mechanism that we've underpinned as well. Publication, it's been submitted. We're really, really excited by the results coming through. And we integrated with a wearable. So we can actually see, people can see the difference in their REM scores and their deep sleep scores. And to see the shift in deep sleep is pretty impressive. You know, deep sleep usually is pretty hard to shift. So we're super happy with that one. And I think, like I said, we launched it last month. And you'll see that incorporated very soon in multiple products globally. We're a B2B, but you'll see that incorporated pretty quickly. The next one is one for reducing the spike, so sugar spike, so maintaining glucose over time, which is a massive problem. We've just finished the clinical results. I literally was looking at them last week. Really good. We're excited about them. And we'll be sharing and launching the ingredient by the end of this year as well. And that's to reduce the negative impact of sugar on our bodies when we're eating something. So no matter what, it'll reduce the spike, it'll maintain a lower glycemic effect of multiple foods we eat, allowing us to vary our foods without massive impact on our health, but also associated obviously to lower inflammation, improved weight loss, the feeling of satiety as a result of the reduction of the spike. And then multiple many other ingredients that we're developing based again on very consumer needs of today and where what they're looking for, and always identifying ingredients that are much better than what exists.
Noor, it's an incredible portfolio, broad, diverse, really focused on customer problems. We're going to dig into what some more of those are, the role of artificial intelligence, and you just coming off a giant fundraise. We'll do it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
From berries to dairies, from crop advisors to data analyzers, Indiana Farm Bureau is at the forefront of the top issues impacting Indiana agriculture. No matter your role in the ag industry, Indiana Farm Bureau membership means you'll always have a champion and an advisor. And because so much of your time is focused on your own enterprise, it's also good to know Indiana Farm Bureau is always working to fight for the future of agriculture. We come together to advocate for rural viability, the protection of property rights, competitive tax policies, and against burdensome regulations. Whether our members need a door opened, an impact in public policy, or an ally to strengthen their communities, Indiana Farm Bureau is there. We are the unified voice for all agriculture. To learn more about the benefits of Indiana Farm Bureau membership, go to infb.org.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience, talking with Dr. Noor Cauldy, CEO and founder of Neuritas. Noor, you have done an amazing job of painting this picture of the power of peptides. And it's an area that I think you and I have talked about, not really well understood by many. But you are taking this technology into some of the biggest brands, food brands that we all know, we interact with every day. Give us a peek behind the curtain. What, these conversations with these big food brands, you say, hey, look, I've got a solution. It's called a peptide. What's their reaction and how does the conversation go thereafter?
It's interesting, Mitch. It changed with time, okay? At the beginning, I remember at the very, very onset of NeuroTask, it was like talking sci-fi. It was like, wow, this sounds amazing, but you know, how does it work? And AI, what is AI? And now AI is like, okay, it's everywhere. I remember we were probably one of the first, or the first actually to include it in this area. Same with peptides. And the conversation is, there's a few folds. So one is that we work in two different ways. One is we're obviously develop our own ingredients based on trends that we're seeing in the market. So these are either companies telling us, you know, there's a huge need for this and we don't have it, or we have ingredients, but they don't really fit the bill and we want better and healthier ones, or we actually look at the trends and see them. And the trends are pretty clear very often. And then that's why we developed our own portfolio. And those now, our goal is to be in every product that we consume, that every person consumes every day, whether it's something you eat or whether it's something you put on your skin, because we have in the cosmetic division as well. We should be in everything because we are creating the next generation ingredients. So that's one. And we're on a great journey to achieve that. And the mission is improving the lives of billions. That's from day one. We want to be in every product. So that's one. The second part are areas where we feel we can invent or maybe not the best at commercializing. And in those cases, we partner with very large companies as well to kind of co-develop with them. So they'll be that commercial arm. They'll bring their knowledge in that area. And we've done that in other segments. We've done that in animal health. For example, Sumitomo, really interesting projects where animal health is not really our expertise, but it's, you know, animal health, human health are very, there's a lot of commonalities, I'd say. The AI system is source agnostic, but it's also host agnostic. So that one is one example. There are other examples where we're looking at taste modulation with Givaudan, for example, where it's not about specifically health, but it is about improving the sweeteners or the ingredients within the taste modulation area, and so many more that a lot of them are, some are public, some are not public. But ultimately, these companies have huge problems of differentiation. They may very often want to own something themselves to differentiate their product, and they can see that the ingredients have limitations today and they want something for them. And as such, what we do is co-develop with them to a point and then they can commercialize. And a few examples, like for example, BSF is one of the early ones we collaborated with from a cosmetic perspective. We created an ingredient with them. They were looking for an ingredient that would reduce inflammation and itchiness of the skin, dandruff and so forth in the cosmetic space. We developed an ingredient for them that they commercialized, and now it's in quite a lot of products. It's an ingredient that is used in various products, shampoos, etc., to reduce dandruff. It has a really interesting mechanism of action, by the way. They have some really good videos, and I should see it as Peptide 4. And the clinical results look really interesting, but it reduces inflammation, itchiness of the scalp, and so forth. And that's on scalp, but it obviously can be used on skin, etc. So that's an example of one where it's not specifically our expertise to go commercial, but the partner has that expertise, but they also have the problem. So they'll understand what the problem of the area is. And together we can come up with really good solutions in an accelerated way, rather than this kind of decades and decades and fingers crossed it will work. Technology has been now proven multiple times.
Well, I think the speed that you are moving and the breadth in which you're addressing unique markets has to have played in. So you just completed a monster $42 million Series C capital investment. Incredible given this current market environment, not just broadly, but when you look specifically at biotech in food and ag bioscience, really, really rough market. What was it when you were talking with investors, making pitches, getting feedback? What were some of the things you heard that investors said, Nora, this is different?
By the way, you mentioned AgTech is another area we're partnering with to develop ingredients within that space as well, plant health, et cetera. So again, technology is varied. So from an investment perspective, I think every investor is looking for a few things. The first one they look at is, if this works, how big can it be? What's the limit? What's the market size? Is it big? And I think that's the first question to kind of position it at. And this is, like I said, we want to be in every single product people consume. Our mission from day one was to improve the lives of billions, and we will. We're on that journey to do so. So I think that's number one. It's like that kind of, how big is the market? The second one is the technology proven? And I think there has been a phase where investors were investing in maybe things that, ideas that could work and would be big if they worked, but had some proof of concepts, but it was still early. The good thing about what we've done is that we've proven the technology multiple times already. So we've proven that our technology that we spent 7 years, by the way, Mitch, building it, it wasn't easy because, you know, AI, you have to feed it data. Unlike ChatGPT, where you can download the data online and use consumer data, when you're using AI in life sciences in general, you have to build the data yourself. You can't just buy it. There's nowhere to go and get it. It's not, publications don't really work like peer-reviewed publication. You have to literally build the data in the lab and do the clinicals and create enough data to fuel the AI system. So that's a big moat in any case, in terms of anyone coming has to do the same journey. There's nowhere you can just buy off the shelf. And life science is long, you know, when you're testing, when you're doing clinical, you can't shorten. It takes the time it takes. So that's one of the things, like, has the technology been proven? Does it work? And also, is there a moat? Is it well protected? If someone's going to start tomorrow, how long will it take them to do the same thing, et cetera? So I think those two. And then the third one, which I think is as important, probably the most important one, is, are people wanting this? Other solutions being sold, are customers buying it? Is just a trend, or is it a reality of where things are moving? When we first launched PeptiStrong about 2 years ago, maybe two and a bit years ago now, it took off pretty rapidly. And the same with PeptiSeep we're seeing now. And there was a lot of proof points. So customers wanting it, and not only wanting it, they take it in and then they put in one product, and then it grows within. They put in a second product, a third product. So it grows within each customer. But then you have small and large ones moving forward with it. It's a really interesting business model. So that one is important. So do people want the product? Is there proof points on that? And then obviously other factors like the team, you know, how specialized is the team? Are they good? Are they going to deliver? And obviously the growth year on year in terms of delivery, especially from time of commercialization. So I think those, when you have those, I'm not saying it's easy to raise, absolutely not, but you do have the right components to go out and command what you actually need to take it to the next level.
I think differentiation is so critical. And you've built a platform, you've built a model, you built a go-to-market that's differentiated. Time for one more question here, Nora, and I think this is the golden one. There is so much opportunity. Your technology being everything we eat, change the life of billions is the mission. What's next?
So every step of Neuritas was really interesting. Okay. So the first time was to prove the technology that a machine can actually do the job of like hundreds of thousands of people, but elevate them. It's not replacing, it's more elevation of, like, you know, cutting time, and can actually do the job of finding clinically relevant things that are going to actually work in our biology. It's pretty impressive. So we were super proud to be the first actually AI to have shown things go from a concept to clinical onto market. And that's a massive step. So each step of the way, and then the second step was consumer adoption. So are these, especially with the first one, we learned a lot, you know, in terms of, I remember having certain conversations with customers and they're like, you know, is this going to formulate well in my product? Is it going to just drop? And at that time, we couldn't really answer the questions. We did everything right. We know we had the science. We knew we could find these things, but we couldn't answer fundamental, simple questions of, is it going to formulate? Is it going to block my machine? You know, when I put in my machine, simple questions, which we had to then go back, a step back and get those basics right, which we did. And now that learning is obviously learning that's fully integrated with everything, with the AI system, the way we find things and all the other ingredients. And then obviously every time we discover something, it's a big step. For me personally, Mitch, it has always been about improving the lives of billions of people. So for us, it's like, and we're starting to have a counter Neurotas in terms of like how many people are using Neurotas ingredients. And that's growing and growing and growing. And that really is my biggest driver. We have, obviously there's a certain number of people in the world, but our goal initially is 2 billion people. We're on that journey and I think we will get there pretty soon. So that fundamentally is number one. Secondly is obviously as we do that, you dramatically change the health of people long term. And I think that impact that we have is incredible. Like some of the large papers that have done large wide studies, clinical studies, like one in the UK that followed about 25,000 people over 30 years and looked at a change of HbA1c in blood, which is sugar over time, just 1% reduction can have an impact on your longevity and healthjevity. So healthy years by 5 to 10 years extra, just a tiny little drop. That's massive. So having those effects with our ingredients population-wise, I think that's something that excites all the team at Neurotas every day.
Well, Nora, we look forward to cheering you on, watching your continued innovation. Thank you so much for investing time to be with us here on Ag Bioscience.
Thanks a million, Mitch. Great to be here.
And thank you for joining us on Ag Bioscience. You can always get the latest Ag Bioscience news and insights from discussions just like this by subscribing wherever you get your podcast. And don't forget, check us out while you're online at agrinovusindiana.com. On behalf of the entire Agrinovus team, I'm Mitch Fraser, saying thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Fraser, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.